When we talk about life lost during the campfire, we immediately think people and animals. But when a fire reaches the extreme temperatures that the campfire did in places, the living organic material in the earth itself burns as well, effectively killing the soil and its ability to absorb moisture. Today, we journey with independent producer Matt Fidler, who learned about rebuilding the soil that once gave life to vegetation that covered the area's now charred landscape.
Without healthy, moist soil for trees to take root in, it's nearly impossible for the forest to come back after a catastrophic wildfire. Instead, what returns are harsh weeds and invasive plants, which spread fire even faster. This is what happened across much of Concow during the campfire. The soil didn't fully recover after the fires of 2008, so the stuff that mainly grew back were brush and grasses, making another wildfire more likely to come in and continue to degrade the soil. And the cycle goes on. But people who study permaculture say it doesn't have to be this way. While it takes nature left alone a long time to build up quality topsoil, we now know enough to harness those same forces nature uses to build healthy soil much faster ourselves.
Nature takes 500 to 1,000 years to create 1 inch of topsoil. I've done 2 feet in 3 years.
Wow. This is Matthew Trum. He owns Treetop Permaculture in Oroville and is now helping some folks on the ridge restore their land after the fire using these techniques. I asked him to show me his demonstration site, which is also his backyard in downtown Oroville, which just 3 years ago was a dusty old parking lot, partially covered in tall weeds with no healthy soil to be found. Now, 3 years later, it's lush and beaming with life. Plants and birds, a productive garden with fruit trees and vegetables, a little pond with a water capturing system, a trellis with vines shading the house, ground cover and native grasses, and, as he said, 2 feet of dark, healthy soil throughout the entire property.
Look at that.
Whoa, what is that?
This is that Bermuda grass root. Look at that.
Oh my God, yeah, look how beautiful that soil
look
is.
Look at
it. Oh my God.
See what I'm saying? Look at that, isn't that cool?
Matthew made all that soil using permaculture techniques that can help restore the land on the ridge as well. And he says it's not that complicated. You just have to think about all the little things that nature already does on your property and what you want to get out of it.
Being able to think about these little simple things, you know, it can really change a lot. Because a log cut the right time is a fire prevention mechanism, but it cut at the wrong time, it's fire fuel.
Cutting a tree on your property during the rainy season can help hydrate your soil if placed in a way that it slows water down. If you down a log on your property in the spring, it might be a better idea to chip up that wood into mulch so it doesn't dry out and become fuel for the next fire. It's this kind of thinking that defines permaculture.
It's a design system that looks at land and it says, what are the energies that influence this land? And it picks from all the different techniques of the world, and it picks the appropriate ones for that piece of land and your lifestyle. And it is using nature as a system to model when you look at that. So you're creating ecosystems by looking at elements in a certain specific way. It's a 72-hour course.
So it can't be taught fully in a 6-minute radio piece. And the course can't teach you specifically what to do on your land. But it does teach you how to observe your land so you can figure out the best design for your needs. Even if you do hire someone like Matthew to help you out.
It has to be the owner that does the design on their property. Because I can only do so much, and I'm only there so much. And so you need to really be associated to the land. You have to have some real serious time. So that's one of the biggest, you know, things in permaculture is observation. You know, long-term observation. You're going to know what kind of animals come into that area. Like, you know, what kind of pests, you know, come in. Like, oh, I got harlequin beetle in my backyard, which is like this little ladybug thing. And it just totally decimates certain types of greens, you know. And so now that I know that, I don't plant those greens, you know, anymore. I do them specific and, you know, in a greenhouse or whatever. So all that stuff is really important.
And some of those factors will change over time as the micro ecosystems on your land develop. But there are other factors that you need to know about that are constants that will affect your initial design, like where the sun rises and sets throughout the year.
What's the north facing slopes, you know, and everything? Where's the sun angle? Where's the winter winds, summer dry winds, which is your fire winds, right? Like for Concow, Yankee Hill, and that whole area, like Jarbo Gap, like it's just coming right through there. There's your summer winds. And the winds change there. And that's something that local people have told me about. Like they actually change in the day, every day about the same time, the winds change directions. So it's really important to understand these like things. You know, see, people say the only constant is change, man, you know, and that's great. But there actually is a whole bunch of real constants in the world.
And when you understand these constants, you design around what needs protection from the wind or what needs direct morning sun or afternoon shade. And you also need to look at the contour of the land to make decisions on how to move rainwater around to hydrate the soil.
We look at the highest and the lowest place. Okay, why? Because that's water. That's gravity. There's another constant, gravity. Ultimately, the main systems of life systems have to do with water infiltration, accumulated organic matter, biomass, and biodiversity. So that's the recipe. Diversity leads to stability, leads to productivity, leads to long-term sustainability.
I asked Matthew if there is anything that landowners on the ridge can do now, or at least as soon as their land has been cleared of toxic debris, without taking a class or hiring a permaculture consultant.
Number one thing is you want to cover the soil, you want to infiltrate water into the landscape, slow it down, right? So, you know, using wattles, using straw bales, using wood chips, whatever you got, using logs, you know, using trees, laying out on contour.
Dead soil doesn't provide an opportunity for the water to seep in. It runs right off the land. So while we're still in the rainy season, the best thing you can do is to slow the water down so it has a chance to seep into the soil. And use found organic material around your property to do this. This will help establish new healthy soil and eventually new trees.
Covering the land is probably the number one thing you can do. And then creating those like, you know, water bars or those situations that will stop the seed from running off the land. Because right now with all these rains, I mean, the seed's just been running off the land and we can't take any more of it. It's already been enough.
In Oroville, I'm Matt Fidler.